You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Sometimes, Ron, we are extremely lucky to have a friend have a cup of coffee with us and have a conversation. And this lady is one of those people that just has so much to say, so much to offer. So I want to introduce Mallory Millick to our audience. Mallory is the CFO for three corporations. She's lived and traveled and studied in many third world countries all over the world. She is the longtime director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and lives in New York with her husband way up high in a high-rise building. Mallory, welcome.
Hello. Hi, I'm so happy to be with you.
Well, we're just thrilled to talk to you because it's always a pleasure with your knowledge of, you know, things that are important for people to know. And the things that are important for people to know right now, today, in the things that are happening in our country, is that we in America are on a road to socialism, to Marxism. And you have some really intriguing firsthand knowledge of how we got there. And I want you to talk about that for a second and tell people, you know, really who you are and why you have this wealth of knowledge.
Well, you know, many people think that this vast change in our culture that's taken us from the people who won World War II to the people who today are flirting with communism and Marxism, the very things that we were fighting our brains out to defeat in World War II were sort of blithely waltzing into without with nary a care. I simply cannot get over this. The fact of the matter is that most people think that this big change has sort of happened inadvertently. You know, it's kind of the way the story went. It's just what things led up to, and here we are. But it's nothing to do with that. It has been, and pardon me if I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I always say to people, do you really mean to say that there are no conspiracies in the world? Then you really don't know anything about the human race, because we're rife with conspiracies. And there's one that's been taking place in America since the 1940s, when this group called the Frankfurt School gathered together. They were thrown out by the Nazis, and they ended up at Frankfurt for a while. And then they came to Columbia University, pretty much, a great bunch of them, you know. John Dewey was one of the Frankfurt School. Dr. Spock was one of the Frankfurt School. They came over to Columbia University and they seeded all their lies and all of their sinister plans for America. Saul Alinsky, who presided over Chicago for many years and wrote Rules for Radicals, which he dedicated to Lucifer, by the way.
And we have read that many times and pointed that out to people. So totally agree with you there.
So, and Hillary Clinton based her college thesis on Saul Alinsky, and she's an avid follower of his, as so is Barack Obama. Now, this is a plot that started to really take wing when the women's movement opened up out of the civil rights movement. The women were tired of being relegated to making the coffee for all the left-wing radical men who were macho, you know, male chauvinist pigs. And women rebelled and started the women's movement, the women's liberation movement. And in that movement, my sister took root, and her name is Kate Millett. And she, along with Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan, and Angela Davis, and a whole crowd of very, very dangerous women, formed this National Organization for Women. And their whole plan, and I attended all of their early meetings in founding now. So I recorded in my little brain as much as I could. I wish I had actually recorded all of it. but I had no idea that I was smack in the middle of history. I didn't know what this was going to develop into. But I attended these meetings where they would sit down and talk about their plans for the future of America. And this is like 14 well-educated, lovely, ladylike graduates of Radcliffe and Wellesley and Smith and all of the finest Bryn Mawr, all of the finest women's colleges. And their actual motive in meeting and in forming National Organization for Women was to destroy Western civilization. Western civilization, they decided, was an evil. It only led to all these wars. They wanted to end all wars. So they were going to smash the family and destroy marriage and religion. The only way you could get the Marxist utopian dream was if you would destroy the family and religion, because they all knew, the Marxists always knew, as long as their family was the root of society and they all practiced religion, they could not possibly sell Marxism. So these people plotted around this table in Greenwich Village at a woman's apartment named Lilac Harp. They would meet every week and they plotted to infiltrate all of the bureaus and departments in the United States, the judiciaries, the media, the legislatures, the Hollywood, Broadway, the colleges and universities. They were going to infiltrate every single thing that existed in America, every institution, and seed it with Marxist thought. And they were going to do that by promoting promiscuity, eroticism, prostitution, abortion, and homosexuality. Those were the five things that they were going to sell the American public, shove it down their throats, plus getting rid of all taboos. No more taboos of any kind, like child pornography. No more taboos. Erase every taboo, like abortion, like divorce, all of it. They wanted all of it gone. Now, these were supposedly decent American-educated women, and this is what they set out to do. And I was at that table while they plotted it, over 50 years ago. And I sit here now and look at the wreckage of their clever little scheme. What they did was they established women's studies groups in every college and university in America. And the minute that they had grabbed the women and given them Marxism 101 and shoved that down the young girls' throats and taught them to be promiscuous and to be sluts and be proud of it and to be an outlaw, be a damned outlaw. This is what they taught these girls in the women's studies classes all over America. And now you have these 40, 45, 35, 30-year-old young women who spout nothing but this stuff. Well, and all you have to do is take the women in a society and you've got the society.
Well, you know, Mallory, when you first started, and by the way, we just wanted to let you talk because what a very accurate and intriguing history of the advent of Marxism into the United States. And I want to piggyback on something that you said, because before I was involved in law enforcement, I was a teacher and taught at the university, taught in high school, and I taught history. Part of what I did was teach history. And this
poor
is
history.
Nothing. Well, I taught U.S. history, but I was very, very, and I, as I continue to be, I'm well taught in European history, and especially during the times of the 20s and the 30s, and the advent of fascism, and the advent of the National Socialist, you know, Workers' Party, you know, the Nazi Party,
right?
So Hitler, Mussolini, you know, Stalin,
Gramsci.
You know, all of these people, but
yeah.
You are absolutely correct. And people in the United States of America, we are not good with history. If you go, and Linda and I, as you have, travel extensively through Europe, the Europeans are so much more learned with regards to their history than people in the United States of America.
They're almost more learned regards to our history.
As a matter of fact, people
that we talk to
in Europe can lecture Americans very accurately on our own history.
Yes,
but you know, I wanted to say this and let you carry on. But this is nothing that just happened in the last 10 years. This is many generations, perhaps 50 to 60 years of inculcating little by little by little Marxism and socialism into the United States of America at all levels of society and government.
Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. You know, right. these people plotted this a long time. Actually, it's been ever since the Russian Revolution in 1917. There's all America has been a target, and they always knew that this would be the toughest sell.
Yeah. You know, well, and you know, they know that the United States of America cannot be defeated from outside our boundaries.
No.
It has to be, you know, it has to be defeated from within.
Right.
And one of the reasons the Japanese, as a matter of fact, after they did Pearl Harbor, okay, and after they, you know, crushed us basically at Pearl Harbor, you know, they were asked, you know, the couple of the Japanese leaders, political leaders at the time, including Hirohito, was asked, why didn't you just keep going and go to the Pacific, go, you know, and invade the United States on the Pacific coast? They said, the Second Amendment. Everybody in the United States has got a gun. Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes. Oh my gosh.
What are we, stupid? So,
that's one of my favorite quotes. And that also, a few years ago, a Japanese ambassador who was here in the United States was asked a question about that. And he said, oh, we in Japan always knew we could never conquer America arms wise. We couldn't do that. And they said, how is that? And the people at the White House, I can't remember which administration it was. And they said, how is that? And the ambassador said, oh, well, everyone in America is armed. You can't conquer a country where everybody is armed. And that's one of the most important quotations that I drag around with me and try to introduce whenever I can. So I love it that you brought that up.
And look what they're doing now. They are trying to take our Second Amendment along with our voting rights and everything else. They're just trying to take the things that will allow other people to defeat us. It's just a step by step, one small bite at a time. They started with our educational system. They started getting people in office. They started getting people in our judiciary. And here we are today. And now, you know, all of a sudden with Joe Biden, we are on a fast track to finish some of these things. And boy, it's just a very scary time. It's very concerning to Americans and should be. And, you know, people say, Mallory, all the time, well, what can I do? Well, I mean, that is the $1,000 question right now. What can we do? And go ahead, Ron.
And, you know, I'm so interested in your historical perspective. So, Mallory, maybe you could educate our friends, our followers, and our listeners, and on Talking While Married, on some of the ways that they have introduced Marxism into the different educational, political, you know, criminal justice, you know, socioeconomic system and political system in this country.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I come from an almost completely left-wing family. Only my husband and I and one of my nephews are conservatives. All the rest of them are totally on the bandwagon. You know, they all still think they're still re-electing FDR every time they cast a ballot. It's all about FDR, FDR. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know, most people don't know, is that FDR's administration was rife with communists. It was bursting with communists. He brought Alger Hiss to Yalta with him. Alger Hiss was an ultimately proven communist spy. And the whole Whitaker Chambers, Alger Hiss to-do, everything was backwards, the way it always is with the Marxists. Whitaker Chambers was cast as the bad guy, the liar, the big fat slob that nobody liked. And Alger Hiss was the sleek, handsome, sexy American who was, you know, totally on our side and was a patriot. And the things that Whitaker Chambers was telling about Alger Hiss, that Alger was a spy and that he was a communist, were low down, dirty, rotten lies, you know. Mm-hmm. And Alger Hiss was brought to Yalta by FDR when they were doing the peace business after the war. And he was a communist plant, Alger Hiss. Now, that's the way everything has gone. It's like right now, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are depicting themselves as the good guys. These are good. Antifa is a perfect example of how they twist everything. Antifa is a fascist organization.
Thank you for saying that. Right. You know, I've been saying Exactly. Yeah. If
you Who else but fascists take tire irons and bang strangers on the head in the street? This is not a normal protest in America. These are the same old fascist punk thugs that Hitler was using to burn down the Reichstag and all the things that all these fascists have done from time immemorial. Now, Antifa, what do they call themselves? Anti-fascist. It's hilarious. But what drives me crazy is the American public just seems to be walking as if they're all in a trance, walking through all of this insanity. And I can't understand why the American public is not rising up and banging its fist on the table and putting its foot down and saying, out of here, you people. This Black Lives Matter, this Antifa, these are fascist goon thug organizations that are out to harm and kill innocent people.
And you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
You know, not too long ago, and I love what you're saying, because it's a validation. It's a validation of what we've been saying and what other people like us, common sense conservatives, have been telling Americans for quite some time. I wrote an article called "The Rise of Neo-National Socialism in the United States" just a couple of
Nazism.
Months. Nazism. It's exactly what's going on. So going back, you know, to your history, and this is the problem, Mallory. One of the biggest problems that I see, again, I have to underscore this thing that Americans are horrible about history. And when you do not study your own history of your own country, then you allow a complicit leftist media to write the narrative and the Marxists and the neo-national socialists to rewrite American history that never even existed. Okay, that's what you allow them to do. And then people, because they're more social media oriented these days, the young people have no idea of history. They don't even teach civics.
Well,
they don't even teach civics anymore in school.
But the reason that they have no idea of their history is because the one of the most left organizations in our country is our educational system,
our teachers
associations, and they have taken history out of the curriculum so that they cannot learn history, and the history that they teach they have slanted to really end up saying something different than what really happened in history. And they've made America seem like a bad place to our students instead of a great place. And that is what has hurt. And that is why you see these people out in Portland and Seattle and these different areas that don't have any respect for America. And they think that it's a bad place because that is what they have been taught. And that, Mallory and Ron, is the fault of the parents not paying attention to what is happening in the schools and not allowing that to happen.
Well, they're allowing their kids to be educated by strangers. And in this case, many of the strangers are neo-national socialists or Marxists. And so when you go back and you know your European history, you know how Mussolini came into power with the black shirts and the fascists. You know how Adolf Hitler came into power with the brown shirts and the neo-national, you know, socialist workers. Okay. So they were socialists. Okay. And people look at the Nazi Party as being the big deal with the Nazi Party was white supremacy. No. That was there. But the big deal with the Nazi Party is they were neo-national socialists. Right. And they've got everything turned around. Everybody thinks that Hitler was the big guy and Mussolini was kind of way down the line. Mussolini was the mentor to Adolf Hitler. Mussolini was there first. Adolf Hitler considered him to be a very important mentor. And then Hitler became the greater, you know, the neo-national or the National Socialist Party and the Nazi movement became much greater than the fascists. My dad, who went to prison camp, from Italy, was an original Antifa. Okay, he was real deal. He was that's why he went to prison camp. He was fighting the fascists. Okay.
Yeah. Well, America was the original Antifa too.
Exactly.
America has done nothing. Well, all we've done is fight fascism most of our history, and that's why it's not so much, you guys, that we don't know our history and we're lax about history and all that. These people have actively, aggressively, barbarians at the gate-wise, with ramrods. They have come into our country and they have deliberately done this. These are deliberate actions, and they're just very lucky that Americans are a little fuzzy on history and they weren't so demanding on how it be this way or that way, so that they were able to come in. But the most important perspective that we can put on our audience, you guys, is that just understand that everything these evil people do is a twist of truth. So we are never looking at, they're always lying. They're always twisting everything and turning it back on you. All of a sudden, it's the police. Now the police are bad. We're supposed to defund the police. This is typical of these people. Why in the name of Holy Father God would anybody want to remove the police?
Well, I'm
only your enemy would do this to you.
Exactly.
No one who has you, who has your goodness, your welfare at heart, would possibly ever do that. Especially for the black people. The black people need the police in their neighborhoods. They're the ones that are the most shocked at this whole idea.
Well, you know,
they're not want the police gone.
Yeah, you know, Mallory, they are literally hostages in their own homes. And, you know, over one thing that you say that I talk about all the time, and you touched on it, you just said it a different way, and that is they have their truth. Okay, so whenever you
yes.
hear someone say, my truth, that's...
Yeah.
That's their truth. That's not the truth.
The okay? truth.
That's not the truth. And so when you take a look at the three founding members of the Black Lives Matter movement, all three of them are avowed Marxists. All
yeah.
three of them are avowed lesbians. And
yeah.
they absolutely want to break up the family unit. Now, I want to
yeah.
just mention something about, you know, your question. I'm sure it was a rhetorical question, but your question about why would anybody in their right mind want to turn against the police and defund the police? Well, because the police are the protectors and enforcers of the rule of law. And if
yes.
we do not have a rule of law in the United States, we no longer have a democracy. So if you can disenfranchise the police, if you can defund them, if you can dissolve them, then you allow your Antifa thugs, your Marxist radicals, the people like Black Lives Matter, the new Black Panther Party, the Black Guerrilla Family, all of these different, you know, crazy groups. Hell, even the Weather Underground would come back with Bill Ayers, for God's sakes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And Angela Davis, who is a communist hero in the United States.
Well, the district attorney of Los Angeles is
Gaston.
The adopted son of
two of the
Bill Ayers yes. and Bernadine Dorn.
Absolutely. Right.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just these people are evil. You have to understand that this is evil at work. And then that immediately makes people go, oh, you see everything in black and white and you're this and that. You know, what's most important about all of this is that you understand that these people do not have your welfare in mind. They want to create chaos. Their most important goal is chaos, because without chaos, you cannot establish Marxism. First, you have to throw the entire society into such a state of chaos. I don't know if you guys have heard of Cloward and Piven, but Cloward and Piven is one of these things like Saul Alinsky. It's this method of bringing Marxism to an unwelcome country that is not welcoming it at the outset, you know, and that is that you overburden the entire bureaucracy of the country. You make everything just exhaustive. Everything, the way they're doing with immigration, with the police, with everything, so that soon there's nothing but turmoil in the streets and everything results in a peak state of chaos. And it's right at that point then that the totalitarian dictator who's been chosen moves in and takes over and establishes law. And that's when you then have a police state, because we in America have law and order, which is a civilized thing, which is based in our Constitution. It has nothing to do with somebody taking power over us. We're the people, we're of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we are the people, and we do it in committees and councils and legislatures and all these different ways that we have of diffusing all this aggressive bullying energy that's wannabe leaders have. Now, if you create this chaos through Cloward and Piven, and this is what they're doing, they want to give free things to illegal aliens. Why in the world should anybody walk across our border and collect my taxes that I paid out to educate our people and to pave our roads and to create our law and order here
Absolutely.
In America?
Yes.
It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And because it's so crazy, people look at each other and go, well, I don't know. It's very crazy, but I don't know. They must know what they're doing. And then they go back to their gardening or something. And they just refuse to take a look and see that they're being taken over by the globalists, by these one world order people who don't want America to be a sovereign country anymore. We've got to fight like holy hell for our personal sovereignty, you guys, and for the sovereignty of our nation.
Well,
we have to get out
true.
There and fight so hard.
We tend to listen to our politicians who continue to tell us that we are the problem. Okay, we, especially
yeah.
the Trump supporters, especially now are the problem in the country. But that,
yes.
that we who make the money, we who started businesses, we are the problem. We are getting too much out of life. And these other poor people are not. And they make it be a class war. And now they've made it be
yep.
a race war. We did not have a race war in this country until Barack Obama came in as president. And
yeah.
he restarted the race war in this country, because our race relations have been doing nothing but improving over many, many, many years until Barack Obama came in and told us that we had a race war. And now we have people in our government and our, you know, our politicians are telling us every single day that word is thrown out at all of us every single day. We are racist. We are homophobic. We are xenophobic.
We need to be a little less white.
Yeah, we need to be less
yes.
white. And now they're doing
yes.
classes on making us apologize
well,
for being white.
Well, critical race theory, 1619, you know, all of these different things. And so it is really, these people are very intelligent, because it's a multi-pronged attack on the United States.
Yes, and it's a plan.
It's a plan.
They've got item one, item two, item three, item four. It's a plan.
There is a major plan about breaking down components in the United States that would not
yep.
allow future warriors, you know, where we would recruit our warriors for military service, and to break that down. And they do it by emasculating the male,
mm-hmm.
breaking
yep.
down the family unit. America is a racist, bad place to live in. And so what
yeah.
you do, you know, little by little by little, bite by bite by bite, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. and so what they do is they break down the values and the heart and soul and the patriotism of Americans, especially American men, so that if we ever had to go to war, there is
right.
no way that we would be able to recruit from that body of males. They would
right.
be emasculated. They would be looking for safe spaces. They would be out of shape. They would be afraid of guns. They would have never fired a gun, because the guns would have been removed from them. They believe
yep.
that their society is racist. And why would you? It's beautiful Marxist propaganda. Why would you fight for a country that is as terrible as the United States when you could just join the utopia of Marxism?
Yeah. I was just going to say that it's a game plan. Why do you think they attacked the Boy Scouts? Why do you think that they have now gone after the NFL? You know, when I lived in the third world countries, one of the things that I learned in spades is that America, one of the reasons America is America is because our men play football, basketball, football, baseball, and hockey. And because our men play those four games, they know how to win wars. They know how to do everything you have to do to win a war. Also, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, all of these groups had to be attacked. Now they've used this silly little Kaepernick guy who has Nike logos all over his body to be protesting over American slavery 150 years ago, when the Nike products he's extolling are made by slave labor in China.
Absolutely.
This is the kind of twisted baloney that's put in our faces, and they're destroying football now.
Well, Mallory,
they're destroying football.
Hold that thought, because I'm going to get us all our first cup of coffee.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world. Featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true-life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice, and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Wade Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's W-A-D-E. JUSTUS.com. Get your copies today.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com, and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Well, welcome back. We're all coffeed up. And, you know, I want to kind of go in a little different direction with Mallory because I'm fascinated that she lives in New York and there's so much going on in New York that I need to ask these questions. So, Mallory, why is it that New Yorkers keep electing people like the Bill de Blasio's, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez type people that are not doing well for the city? And even Cuomo, these people are not doing well for your city. People are moving out in droves. The taxes are crazy. You're defunding your police. And now I just read that you want to have the police have to live within the city border, which is impossible. On a policeman's salary, they can't afford that. So what's going on there in New York?
Well, it's the politics of destruction. You know, it's just more of the same. The far left, which is making a huge power grab in the entire country right now, has a very fertile piece of land here with New York because, first of all, there's just this kind of death grip that they have at the throat of the city of New York, where the Democrats just seem to run everything. It's comes from, you know, long ago, from FDR, from way back. It's like the whole place is full of people like Chelsea Clinton, you know. They would never dream of voting any other way but Democrat. And they're always posturing themselves. What?
But things are falling apart. Things don't work. Why would they
vote for that system? But if you But if you look at every great city in America, Detroit, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, all of these huge and used to be very great cities now are all run by Democrats, and they're all crumbling into ashes. These cities are all destroyed. And why don't the people notice this? I don't understand it. I don't get it. When you look at a city that's run by Republicans, it usually runs very beautifully. Everything is running well, and things are copacetic and well balanced. When we had the Koch David Dinkins era, which just went from the absurd to the completely unworkable. By the time David Dinkins had been in office for quite a while, it came out in the headline of the New York Times, New York has become ungovernable. New York now ungovernable was the headline in the New York Times. And David Dinkins, our mayor at the time, explained this by saying that this is a product of progress. In other words, because we've progressed so far, we become ungovernable. This is the kind of clip-clap, this kind of claptrap silliness that comes out of the mouths of liberals. Now, you know, when that happened, the city just went a little wild. Everybody got very, very upset. And they elected Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani was elected by a huge margin, and he took over. And within, I would say, 8 weeks, the city had transformed. I mean, it was simply amazing. It had been a cesspool of filth. It was the way it is now, a ghost town. All the decent people had left town. Nobody with any ounce of sense of anything stayed in New York at that time. They had what they called a brain drain and a talent drain, and everybody was leaving.
I just don't understand why they would elect people like Bill de Blasio, who is a communist, along with his wife, who admits his affinity for communism. Why would any red-blooded American elect a communist?
Because they're communists. Because this city is full of communists. This city is full of the products of 50 years of New York high schools. They all believe that AOC is terrific, that what we need is the revolution, up with the revolution. They think Antifa is great. They think that this is liberation. They have swallowed every single bit of the Kool-Aid. And they think that when they're voting for these people, they're voting for goodness in some sense. It's simply unbelievable. It's what propaganda does to people. It makes people just as if they're in a trance and they've lost 30 points of IQ and they just go along with the program. It's like this mask thing. I mean, this mask thing is preposterous. All of the cities and states that did not lock down have no difference in their statistics than all of the places that did these hard lockdowns, like Michigan, like that crazy lady in Michigan. You know, there was an article in the New York Post last week. I don't have it right in front of me. I wish I did. Because when you put all the statistics together and you compare everything, the lockdowns did nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
You know, it's interesting, Mallory, because I'm a medical investigator as well as a forensic criminologist. And so it was funny because when I was going through medical school, literally the last classes I had to take were, biowarfare, you know, those types of things, immunology. And I said to myself, God, why am I taking this stuff? I'm dealing with gunshots and hangings and stabbings. And why am I dealing with this? But I'll tell you what.
Wuhan.
Since the beginning, I dusted off all my books and went back in there and started looking. They said, follow the science. Well, exactly what you said. And I started doing this early last year when this started. And I said, we are not following the science. And this mask thing, this perpetual mask thing is absolutely ridiculous. And
it's
very bad for people. It is absolutely. And you should see the pushback that we get for just talking pure, correct medical science. And then you get these horrors out there like Fauci. And, you know, you've got a guy that is so far to the left, and he's a bureaucrat. He's not a doctor. You know, he's not a practicing.
No, he's very involved with the Chinese.
Right. And he's very involved with the Chinese. So you get a guy that's totally conflicted and telling people, well, we'll probably be using masks for the next 2 years. This is absolutely insane.
I guess
so.
I don't wear a mask anymore because in Texas, we don't have to wear masks.
Right.
And what's nice is we can go in restaurants, we can go in stores just like we used to without having to wear a mask. And I just saw that some states, COVID is going back up, and New York is one of them. New Jersey is another. And you all have mask laws and we don't, and ours is going down.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you scientifically explain that. But I will tell you that it's working just fine for us in Texas, and we're living a normal life. And that's how everybody should be living.
But you know what? In the end, and you know, medically speaking, I mean, in the end, you just have to practice common sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just use common sense.
Well, it's just like you guys asking me. It's just the same thing as you asking me, how is it that people like de Blasio and AOC get elected in New York? It's the same thing as, how is it that somebody like Fauci could get a hold of the American people? We never heard of this guy before. I never heard of this guy. Who the heck is this guy Fauci? He suddenly appears on the scene, and he's the prime dictator of our country. He's telling people exactly what they may do in and out of every day now. This is preposterous. I cannot get over this thing. It's very clear that the Chinese are using biological warfare against us, that they willfully did this thing.
Absolutely.
They stopped all the air traffic from Wuhan into central and mainland China. All of mainland China was off limits for planes going out of Wuhan. But the planes out of Wuhan were all allowed to go to San Francisco,
New York,
Los Angeles,
everywhere.
London, right. Yeah, to Milan, to Madrid, in order to spread the disease. It's obvious.
This has been a plot in China for many, many years. It was written about by one of their generals.
Yes, in 1999.
Well, actually, even before that, too.
Oh.
They wrote about that this was their plan, that they felt that the way to conquer the world and get the places that they needed to live to, because they have way too many Chinese people in China.
Yep.
And they are way overcrowded and they want places to move to. So they figure that if they bomb places or use atomic weapons, that is not going to serve their purpose very well. So, but using a biological weapon where they can get rid of percentages of the population and continue to move their Chinese people over there to take pressure off of them. And they feel that the Chinese are the chosen people in the world and that they are the ones who should have everything. So the two countries that they decided that they wanted the most was the United States and Australia, because they felt that those two places would suit whatever their purposes were, whether it be, I think it had to do with, you know, where they could farm and have food and those types of things. And this has been a very long-standing plan of China, and how we in this country are so naive to what has happened here. It just blows me away that when you say that it's a biological weapon, you really get poo-pooed by a lot of people.
Absolutely. Oh, well, they're just ignorant.
You are in the center of world media there in Manhattan. And I thought we could have a little bit of a conversation with your perceptions about what is happening to our media, our mainstream media. I mean, we're even seeing things at Fox News, which, you know, has been, in my impression, the one of the most credible news organizations there.
Sure.
And I've worked for all of them. Okay. We've come into New York a lot of times. It's because I'm doing something for Fox or before, and I don't work for CNN anymore, work with them. But I would do CNN and I would go do the media hop, and they would ask Dr. Ron all these different questions. But what is going on over there? What are you seeing with the media? And then I want you to go back into history and maybe we could walk back there together and talk about how that was such a huge mistake when the fascists and the National Socialists took over in Europe, and what was the first thing they did to the media? Anyway, what's going on in New York with the media there? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's just the same. It's the same as everything else we're talking about. It's just they targeted our media. They targeted Broadway. They targeted Hollywood. They targeted our schools. And they've managed to completely take over the media. Now, we do have Fox, but Fox is being compromised constantly. There's always all this weird activity going on over at Fox. And it's very scary because, you know, Janine has been canceled a couple of times because apparently she went over some line I don't understand. Because if you watch Tucker Carlson, he's just right point blank in their faces day and night, and nobody seems to stop him. So I don't understand what it takes to withstand the power of these people, because they really have taken over our media. They've taken over our country. We've lost the culture war, you guys. We've lost it. Now we've got to wrest it back. We've got to fight with all our might to get it all back. But it's in every place. It's all the same story. It's like when the whole thing happened with this is what the Chinese knew would happen, too. When they seeded this virus all across the Western free world, and suddenly somebody like Dr. Fauci showed up, what was so stunning was how easily with what carelessness and abandon the American people just bared their neck to the knife and just immediately put the masks on, immediately started obeying every order coming out of the World Health Organization, who is the one that's setting up all the principles that rule Italy, England, America, France, Germany now. It's the World Health Organization, which the Japanese call the Chinese Health Organization, laughingly.
Yes. Yeah.
No, the Japanese
so
make fun
it's
of this.
Ridiculous. Yes.
But it's run by China, and Fauci is taking orders directly from China and from the WHO. And that's what's happening. We are being run by China. We've been taken over. And the sign of our submissiveness and the sign that we are now their sheep are these masks on the faces of all of us, obedient little peasants who bow our heads and go down the street and are afraid to walk out without a mask on.
Well,
this
I
is
was
unbelievable.
Interested to read that, you know, the in California, the schools were ordered to reopen by the court. They've had enough over there, and rightfully so. And the teachers union in some cities have said, well, we're not going back no matter what. We're not going back till at least
Good.
The middle of April. No, they
Good.
Need to go back to school and teach.
No,
and
but they need to fire all these teachers.
That's exactly
what
they
remember
need to
what,
do.
Yes. Remember what Reagan did with the
yes.
air traffic controllers?
Absolutely.
He just said, good, we'll yes. fire all of you.
But
that's it. You're
that.
Gone.
No, but they don't do that. They kowtow to these people. And I'm with
well,
you. I mean, as an employer myself, I would fire every one of them. But
yep.
but they are running the schools. They are determining,
yep.
you know, the poor parents who have not been able to work because they've got to stay home all the time. And, you know, in some ways that I hope and pray that many parents, in having had to stay home with their kids, perhaps they had an opportunity to learn what their kids were actually learning in school and be shocked by it. And do something about it. And I'm hoping that a change comes. I'm hoping that it's not just business as usual and back to normal, because, you know, what the schools have done, and, you know, honestly, I also blame parents because they're too busy to pay attention to what the kids are learning. So I'm hoping that it gave them a breather to actually learn and see what their kids were doing in school. But the fact that these teachers all over our country are, you know, just running everything is just beyond me. That's wrong.
And they're all communist dupes. They've all, you know, Thomas Sowell says that the first thing that should go is the Department of Education. This is Thomas Sowell's plan. Get rid of the Department of Education. There should be no Department of Education. And
no,
then get rid of all the educational schools, all the schools that specialize in education. He said, get rid of them. Let's go back to reading, writing, arithmetic, people who are good at their skills at this particular skills, and people who have gone to school to just to learn something very, very well so that they can teach it. That is what we need to go back to. We absolutely do. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we've got to grab back our country. We've got to be willing to sacrifice anything in order to do this.
Mallory, can you take a couple of minutes and help us out and our listeners with what's going on at the David Horowitz Freedom Center and what you do there and the important work that comes out of that center?
Well, David Horowitz was what you call a red diaper baby. His parents were vowed, really committed, devout communists. And so he was raised that way. In fact, the person who shot Trotsky in Mexico was in their apartment some like the day before he left for Mexico to commit the assassination or something. This is how deep into the bowels of the communist movement in America David Horowitz's parents were. So he was raised a devout devotee of that particular religion, which it really is a religion. And so he went to Berkeley and he started the free speech movement in Berkeley that was the free speech movement at that time, where these people were trying to get their right to speak out and speak their mind, which was all left-wing communist propaganda. But then David Horowitz started a magazine called Ramparts Magazine, which was the mouthpiece of the anti-Vietnam War movement. Yeah. And so David was at the peak. He worked with Huey Newton. He worked with all of the big Panthers. He worked with all of these people. And he was completely devoted. And then he made the mistake of getting a job with the Black Panthers for his best friend, a very close woman that he liked very much, a close buddy of his. And she had a couple of children. And she went to work for the Black Panthers. And the next thing you know, she was dead. And David realized that the Panthers murdered her. He worked with the police in Berkeley for quite a while to try to solve the case and to make it so that they were prosecuted for this woman's murder. But once they murdered his friend, and then the communists in America helped to defeat the Vietnam in the Vietnam War, and 2.5 million peasants in Cambodia died, and in Vietnam, all of these poor people died as a result of the communists taking over the Vietnam territory. So it turned out that all of this work against the Vietnam War was wrong. David just immediately became a conservative. He left the Black Panthers, he left the Communist Party, and he voted for Ronald Reagan. And he and I got together right around that time, and we started a group called the Wednesday Morning Club, which signifies the Wednesday after the first Tuesday after the first Monday. You know, the first Tuesday after the first Monday is always election day. And this was the Wednesday morning after that, when we were all so heartbroken that Bill Clinton won in 1992. And so we started that group, and out of that group came something called the Center for the Study of Popular Culture. And we ran that for quite a number of years. And the basis of it was to try to investigate Washington and Hollywood and the connection between Washington and Hollywood and how they are creating our culture. And so we were like a watchdog group for that. And then some years ago, we changed the title of it to the David Horowitz Freedom Center. One of the main focuses of our group is Israel. We work very hard to protect Israel, to defend Israel. And whenever it's an Israeli issue, we're at the forefront of fighting for it, you know. And David has written about 300 books. I swear to God, the guy writes a book a week. And these books are so fantastic. These books are so exquisitely written. You simply cannot believe the depth and the tenor of this man's sagacity, his perspicacity, his intelligence, his vision, his insight into everything. He never makes one misstep. He is so fabulous. I absolutely love this man, David Horowitz. He and his wife, April, and my husband and I are very good friends. We've worked together now for just about 30 years. We've been through everything together, everything. The left is always attacking us. And he's now the ripe old age. I think he's going to be 82 in July, and he's still at it. He just put out a brand new book. The cover, let me see. I've got this brand new book he just sent to me. The Enemy Within. This is his new book, Ron. Okay. The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America.
I'll have to get a copy of that for sure.
Yeah, by David Horowitz. And he is the man. I can't imagine what his IQ is. It must be like 220 or something, because you just can't keep up with him. I hope he's a very
intelligent guy, because actually his birthday is January 10th and mine is January 9th. So
he's already, oh, it's January. I thought his birthday was in July.
He just turned 82.
We had a big birthday party for him several Julys. I don't know why we keep celebrating it in July.
Maybe it's a half birthday. I don't know. But anyway, he was born in 1939. And
yeah.
He just is such an interesting guy. I had been reading some of his history, and he just really has brought so much to the table, as have you. And, we're pretty much running out of time here this evening, and I just want to thank you for having coffee with us, Mallory, because you just bring so much to the table in helping people understand what's going on in our country.
And boy, I got to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion together. For me, the time just blew by.
Yeah, for me too. I know, isn't it fun?
We would love to give you an open invitation to come back anytime you'd like to visit with us. We always have our coffee pot going, so I'm sure that there's many more things that we could discuss. I would love to get into it with you about your living in some of the third world countries. I'd love to hear about that, and some of the adventures that you've had in life. So, thanks so much for spending this time with us.
I would think it would be fun if the four of us, if you'd have Thomas and me on your show, and the four of us could discuss marriage.
Oh, that's a done deal.
We can absolutely do that. We will get some times and days, and we'll do that, because that's a fun thing to discuss. And, it's something that Ron and I have discussed on Talking While Married a number of times, just talking about marriage, because we don't just talk politics. We talk about any and everything.
Yeah.
You do at your dinner table. That's what we do at our dinner table. So our dinners are a hoot, and we especially when all the family is with us. I mean, we just have a raucous time in our household.
You know, it's hard to stand in the corner and hide over here at the Martinelli family, okay? Because everybody has to contribute to the conversation. We pick on them if they don't.
Well, if the four of us, the four of us are enjoying having such wonderful marriages, and we're having so much fun at it, and we need to follow in the pattern of our enemies, and we need to infiltrate, and we need to sell marriage very hard, because the four of us are having a lot of enjoyment and pleasure and happiness and fulfillment in this two marriages, and we need to inspire other people.
We absolutely are having a lot of fun, and we will do that soon. So thanks so much. And
okay, thanks a lot.
Just reminding our audience to catch us every weeknight on America Out Loud, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Talking While Married.